It's been said that rearing children is among the most rewarding assignments in life. Yes, for moms and dads, children bring out both the best and worst in our character. The little ones who evoke such joy can also provoke occasional frustration. For instance, when a son or daughter's innocent personality transitions into adolescence, we often see signs of independence emerge. Sometimes the outcome pushes our buttons. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll talks about those inevitable moments when the fun stops for parents. And we'll begin by reading today's passage from the Bible.
All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for guidance into righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may become mature, perfectly equipped with good works. God's Word is the only piece of literature on this planet that is inspired by God. It stands alone as no other work of literature could stand, and it has stood the test of time through the centuries. Today we are privileged to have in our own language and in our own possession a copy of this book, so familiar to all of us, but so treasured, especially in places where it is not allowed to be carried or read. Let's never forget the privilege of owning a copy of the inspired Word of God, knowing that it alone will guide us to maturity. We're reading today from the 15th chapter of Luke, beginning the reading at verse 11. When you find your place, because of our respect for our God and His Word, may we stand together for the reading of it. Luke 15:11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. One of the great stories that Jesus told and how it speaks today to fathers as well as to the rest of us in our homes and families today.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called When the Fun Stops for Parents.
The late Paul Harvey was a master storyteller. And since everybody loves a story, it was always exciting to hear the stories as he would spin them in such a way that you simply wouldn't let your mind wander to anything else. He would tell you one detail after another and sort of weave it together in such a pattern that you almost felt like you were a part of the scene as he spoke. And then he would bring the story to its climax, and there would be a commercial. Wouldn't you know it? Right when you were ready for how the rest of the story was going to go, there was a break. And you thought, am I not going to hear the rest of this? But oh no, oh no. With Paul Harvey, you always got the rest of the story. And you found yourself either surprised or shocked or comforted or pleased or humored, depending on the story. We're involved in the telling of a story called the family. And most recently, we've learned the importance of delighting in our children. Got a wonderful response from some of you as you mentioned you had never given thought to the importance of delighting in your child. We're so busy as parents training them and teaching them and disciplining them and guiding them that we forget that every child is a gift, is a reward, and needs guidance like an arrow in the hand of a warrior, writes the psalmist in the 127th. And how blessed is the one who has his quiver full of them. Now, this story sounds like a fairy tale. But then there's the rest of the story. And it's at this point the fun stops for parents. Some of you know firsthand exactly what I'm referring to. We have been there, haven't we? I would imagine a number of you are saying we are there. Even though we tried to shape the will with wisdom, our child has grown to the place where there is nothing but defiance and rebellion. And it's like another whole person has moved inside their skin, and words are coming out that were never spoken in our home before. And behind the scenes, there are activities happening that we would never allow. And by, we realize we have a prodigal on our hands. Don't misunderstand. In the growing up years, all of us must show signs of independence. There's everything healthy and wholesome about that. No person should be connected to the mother's apron strings once adulthood happens. In fact, it pleases God that there be a separation, of course, for us to become our own men and women. However, I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the rebel, the one who with a curled lip defies the authority of his mother and father and says in so many words, to hell with you. I'm going my way, and I don't care how you're going to go, but this is my plan. And before long, you can't reason with them. You can't negotiate. You can't counsel. And because you realize a spanking is impossible, you've got to cut them loose. And the fun really at that point stops. Back in the 1960s, we began to see the graffiti appear on brick walls and in in other places, even schoolyards. Question authority. Question it. Someone tries to pull rank, you question authority. And at that time, there was a break between the establishment, which was viewed with cynicism, and the freedom of the will to go my way, thank you. We who lived back then remember it was a treacherous time. And while we all knew the importance of every person becoming an independent individual, we also knew the power and importance of a society that must be guided by rules and regulations. Otherwise, there's anarchy. And what can happen in a society happens in a home. Before we turn to that familiar story, I invite you to the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, a couple of verses there that are worth looking at. In this case, the rebel is not a teenager, not a young adult still living under the roof of his parent. This is a full-grown adult. This is a rebel who is a king, and he's the king of all things of the Hebrews. And when he reaches this stage in his life, it is as if the blinds are drawn and the restraint is thrown to the winds, and he does what he well pleases. Before we look at the scene in verses 22 and 23, it may help to get a definition of rebellion. Rebellion is an act or show of defiance toward an authority. It would be expressions of opposition and strong unwillingness to cooperate. It's a strong determination to go one's own way, to do whatever one chooses, regardless of the counsel or previous instruction. In a word, it is insubordination. And what is God's opinion of insubordination and rebellion right in front of us? No matter what the prophet Samuel told him, he will make his own decisions. And so King Saul acts in defiance and rebellion. And Samuel stops him in his tracks. I won't take the time to go back to the context. I'll just go to the mark of verse 22, where Samuel says to the king, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than an altar filled with the fat of rams." And now he explains why. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. Look at that. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. We don't use that word much these days. What is divination? Well, this is trafficking in the occult practices. This is time spent in demonic activity. Rebellion is like that. And look further, and insubordination is as iniquity and even worse, idolatry. Saul, you need to know, surrounded by occult practices and demonic idols, you need to know that your rebellion, Saul, is as the sin of divination. And in fact, your insubordination is like unto idolatry. You hardly need that defined. Saul's land was filled with idols, and he knew what that meant. So let's go back to the home and clarify. Not a healthy independence, but an unhealthy defiance is what we have reference to today. When rebellion occurs, it isn't cute or humorous or just a stage. It isn't an idle matter that we cast off as, oh, an act of mischievousness. When it reaches the place where there is no room for correction or reason or negotiation or counsel, when other children are being negatively affected by the rebel in the home, making the family miserable, it's time to release them to the consequences that will follow. That's at the heart of the story Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of Luke. If you carry a Bible with red letters, you will see all of the story is in red. Jesus is telling this story. Because there is no proper name mentioned, it may very well have been another parable, an imaginary story. On the other hand, one wonders if Jesus knew a family who has gone through this. And rather than embarrassing the family by giving names, he simply tells the story of the family. And this family is soon to be in pain because the father has to exert tough love. Before I go further, let me quote from a fine book titled Parents in Pain by Dr. John White. Dr. White writes, God's dealings with his people form a pattern for Christian parents. Like him, we may eventually have to allow persistently rebellious children to harvest the consequences of their willfulness. The time can come when we have to withdraw all support from them and oblige them because of their own decisions to leave home. However, children must not be thrown out in a fit of petulant rage. Our home has at times served as a temporary refuge for young people, ranging in age from 13 to 17, who have been ordered out of their houses during a family fight. Get out of this house. And don't you ever show your face around here again, is a common wording for the dismal, in most cases, the teenagers are back home. And in a matter of a month or two, there's another blow up. But there are times when an explosive situation demands fast action. Get this, bitterness often rises in the good children, whom the parents may neglect in their desire to restore their prodigal to his or her senses. Sometimes matters go so far that the parents are forced to choose whom they would rather have at home, the problem child or the non-problem children. By the way, you may be there right now. And that's part of the dilemma of the whole thing. And the home is no longer laughing. The fun has fled away. And you as parents must make a decision that will be painful for you. Parents who are reluctant, writes White, parents who are reluctant to take drastic steps should ask themselves why. Are you too scared? There's every reason to be scared. What parent is not? The thought of exposing a child to physical hardship, to loneliness, to moral temptation flies in the face of every parental instinct. Or is it that parents fear public opinion? Or they're still clinging to unrealistic hopes that matters will magically right themselves if only they hang on a little longer, when it is plain they will not? Parents who cling to their erring children must realize that by paying debts and legal expenses beyond clearly set guidelines, or even by offering continued shelter, food, and clothing, they can morally become a party to the delinquent behavior. Strong words. Wise words. Here is the story, not just of a prodigal son, but of a very wise and secure father. We read of the story beginning at verse 11, where the man really has two sons. And you need to understand, ethnically and culturally, in that day, in a Jewish home, the father's inheritance would be passed along to his two sons, if there were just two, two-thirds to the older and a third to the younger. It would happen either when he retires or when the man dies. And it was possible for a father simply to act on it when neither had occurred, so that before retirement, or perhaps at a given time when the children reach a certain age, the inheritance is then given to the children. In this case, the younger son is the one who steps up and rather impudently says, in so many words, "I want mine right now. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm old enough to go on my own. Give me my inheritance now, Dad." That seems to be the tone of it. And so without an argument, without a sermon, without a fight, we read, he divided his wealth between them. So the older son gets two-thirds, and this young rebel gets a third. We're not told how much. Apparently, it was a considerable amount in light of what the boy does with the wealth that comes to him. In fact, it's called wealth. He divided his wealth between them. How gracious of the father. You have it coming. I'll give you what you have coming. And nothing more. The next several words intrigue me when I read, "Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything and went to a distant country." I love it that it says not many days later. So there were some hours when no doubt father and son had a talk in the back room. "Let's talk this out, son. Let me pass along information that you will need now that you have all the money in your pocket. Watch out. You'll have fair weather friends that'll come and go. They'll take everything you've got. Your tendency will be to extravagantly spend money on yourself. And if you're not careful, it'll lead to a fast and shallow life that has dreadful consequence." Can't you just hear the father? It's exactly what you would have done, or what I would have done, of course. Not many days passed. Before long, the boy is stuffing his belongings into his backpack, and he went on a journey into a distant country.
What to do when the fun stops for parents? That's the subject we're addressing today here on Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll will share a closing comment with us shortly, so please keep listening. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. This is message number 8 in Chuck's 12-part series called Biblical Parenting. Throughout this study, it's becoming quite clear that healthy families don't automatically emerge from our good intentions. Raising healthy children takes intentional effort. And so let me highly recommend a practical way to take your next steps. Whether you're the mom or dad of young children, or you're the parents of young adults who are starting families of their own, we're confident you'll appreciate the biblical wisdom in a classic book from Chuck. It's called Parenting from Surviving to Thriving. As a Bible teacher, a dad to 4 adult children, and now a grandfather, these biblical principles were forged in the crucible of Chuck's personal experience. The book is insightful and contains a wealth of wisdom. To purchase a copy of Parenting from Surviving to Thriving, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/offer. Now, please keep in mind, it's not the purchase of books and resources that fuel this nonprofit ministry, but rather the voluntary donations of grateful friends. And your gifts truly make an impact, especially during this critical pandemic crisis when families are looking to Insight for Living for biblical hope and wisdom. Chuck?
The pandemic has brought the global economy to its knees. In our lifetime, we've never witnessed anything like it, have we? But let's be absolutely clear. While it's true that world trade has come to a virtual standstill The persistent challenges of daily life continue with more intensity than ever. Think for a moment. Yes, isolating in our homes has minimized our exposure to the coronavirus, but it's only intensified our daily engagement with those we love. If you want to test your patience as a mom or dad, just put everyone in the same household, locked in a stay-at-home mode for the foreseeable future. That's one of the many reasons I decided to present this series on biblical parenting. Our hope and our prayer is that these daily messages and the books we've made available to you will help moms and dads, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, and even grandparents learn to thrive. Today, it's very important for me to add this request. Our daily visits on radio and all of the resources offered through the website come with a price tag. They might arrive free to you, but they're not free to provide. So we deeply appreciate, and yes, we definitely need your generous financial support. We realize some of our listening family cannot give right now. That's understandable. But many of you can. As God prompts you to support Insight for Living Ministries, I can assure you that your contribution will be channeled directly into helping families around the world. Thank you for all the times you've entrusted us with your gifts and supported the work we do together. We need each other more than ever. I'm very grateful to walk this journey together with you. I really am.
We've made it simple to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can pick up the phone and call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easiest to go online and give a contribution at insight.org. Thank you for your generous support. Hear more practical teaching from Chuck Swindoll on what to do when the fun stops for parents. Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When the Fun Stops for Parents, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.